State Senator Brendan Crighton is with us. And Senator, welcome. Good to be talking with you again.
Yeah, great to be talking with you, Bill, and thanks for this opportunity.
Brendan, obviously we love to talk under different circumstances, but the coronavirus, COVID-19, the response by the state, the federal government, the city, and towns that you represent are obviously huge. So, but first, let me ask you about the State House. I know you've been in there, but it's closed to the public. So what's the work environment and what's happening at the State House these days?
So, yeah, we closed the State House to the public last week. Prior to that, we had instructed most of the staff to work from home. Certainly, we continue to meet as a legislative body, but are doing so in informal sessions, which doesn't require every member to be in the chamber. Obviously, that would be a violation of what the executive orders have stipulated, but also just what public health experts have said. So, for the time being, we continue to meet that way and to try to pass, a variety of bills dealing with this current situation. It's a new reality, and we're not unique. Obviously, every business has had to change the way they operate. We've been on Zoom and conference calls, throughout the day. So we haven't stopped working by any means, and we're certainly in constant contact with our local officials, state officials, and also federal officials as well.
And we probably very well versed on some of the federal responses that are actually in the legislative process now, and they passed by the Senate just last night and over to the House now. But what are some of the legislative pieces that that the Senate or the House is looking at in Massachusetts?
So there's been a number of bills we've already passed, some dealing with unemployment insurance, just creating a little more flexibility there. We have some scope of practice stuff coming up, essentially trying to make it easier for different levels of, medical professionals, allowing them to do more than they typically would in a medical setting. Obviously, the demand for health professionals in an emergency like this greatly exceeds the supply, so we want to make sure that hospitals have the resources in doing so in a safe way. So Senator Cindy Friedman, who chairs the healthcare financing committee, has been working on this for quite some time. I think even if the emergency didn't happen, we were prepared to act on it. There are a number of other some of the bills we're working on aren't all that glamorous, but just need things needed to keep governments running smoothly. Some of the requirements around local elections and things like that, giving more flexibility to cities and towns to push off, town meeting. Obviously, we can't have a room full of people meeting to decide what next year's budget's going to be. Also, along elections, too, giving municipalities a little flexibility to extend or delay elections. So some of the big pieces I've been focused on as the housing chair have been around keeping people in their homes, either through, moratorium on evictions and foreclosures, but also looking at the much-needed resources for homeless shelters across the state. Obviously, it's hard to, distance yourself or to isolate yourself when you're in a shelter setting. So the big fear is that, someone, should be exposed to the virus and be forced to live in a setting like that. We need to make sure that there are additional spaces available as well as personal protective equipment for all of those on the front line helping out.
Brendan, when you look around at some of the communities that you represent, in particular, I guess, the city of Lynn, any unique responses? It seems to me everybody is kind of just falling in line with the direction from the governor, now, as you would. But there's clearly a lot of things that school districts and public health folks really have to be ramping up at this point, or have ramped up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, the executive branch, the legislature, and, the municipalities have all stepped up in kind of their own way. I mean, we're all working together, but there are things that individually folks needed to act on. So, locally, I think each of our communities, established some form of a public health either task force or command center to really make sure that they're looking at all the different pieces, which, it requires bringing you know, department heads and public safety and public health officials and really any stakeholder together to make, you know, decisions fairly quickly, which, you know, for us in the legislature is something we're not super accustomed to, as we pride ourselves on being a deliberate body that has, you know, debates and we carefully consider every issue and we want the best, you know, policy possible, which, you know, still remains to be true. But I commend the Senate president for creating a structure in our branch that, you know, allows individuals to, you know, focus on their area of expertise and work with different working groups and kind of bring up, you know, a wide range of issues to the body as a whole, but also to work on them in these individual working groups, which, you know, so far has created some really great policy ideas and I think is working well. Additionally, you know, give credit to the administration for making Secretary Sutter's regularly available to membership. I feel like right now everyone's working well together. If I call a secretary on a particular issue, you know, they're going to pick up the phone and work with me, even though, you know, they're probably overworked and hearing from other legislators as well. So, you know, I hate to say it, but all the things that were super important to us legislatively 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago have definitely been put on the back burner as we have focused on the immediate safety and well-being and health of our residents, but then at the same time preparing for the economic impact that this is going to have and, you know, making sure that people can pay their rent, pay their bills, and move forward to bring us back to where we were before this hit.
Let me, I'm down to my last two questions, Senator, but let me ask you about the business piece of it. Obviously, health is number one. We get that. That's been on the front burner now for the last couple of weeks, but you can't help but think about what's happening. As you were mentioning, other than the business aspect to it, obviously the personal financial situation for individuals, but businesses, I mean, there's so many small businesses in your district alone, for sure, but and big businesses. But I mean, the economic impact on businesses is what are you hearing from business people? Anything?
I mean, they're in very difficult times, and you know, I think it goes across, you know, most sectors. Obviously, you know, there are a few right now that are probably inundated with, you know, customers given the nature of our stay-at-home situation. But for the most part, folks are hurting, and they're going to need the government to step up, and that's, you know, starts at the federal level, which I'm pleased to see this package moving forward. Hopefully it is signed and the money is sent out quickly, the largest, you know, stimulus or relief package in the country's history. But I think we have to learn from the past in this. And when you look back to the recession and, you know, the stimulus at that time, we didn't go nearly as far as we should have. I think, you know, we should inject as much money as we can in the economy with certain safeguards, making sure that small businesses can return to, you know, the profitable businesses that they were before. And I think we should go above and beyond. And worst case scenario, we invested a little bit more money in the economy than we should have. The federal government obviously has the flexibility to inject that type of money. We in the state have a constitutional responsibility and requirement to have a balanced budget every year, so we can't borrow our way out of this. Thankfully, our rainy day fund is the highest it's ever been. That's been a series of pretty responsible investments over the past few years. That will help us out, but we're going to need money from the federal government to get through this. So this is a good first step, a very big step for them to take on the stimulus, but there's going to be a lot more needed. And, you know, I suspect we're going to be in this situation for quite some time, at least on the economic end of things.
Yeah. Brendan, final last question. As far as the Crichtons, how are things going? Any personal stories or updates for us as you deal with this?
I tell you what, I have a huge respect for every teacher and child care provider out there, because right now my wife, she works in the state Senate as well. She is an essential employee. She's in there now. We have an informal session today. So when she's working, I have to work from home and vice versa. When I'm in there, she has to be here. Two children under five, they're bundles of joy, but I can't wait till we're back in school and back in childcare. And their grandparents, both my wife's parents and mine, are a huge help normally, but obviously in this situation, you know, older folks are should have even more caution than the rest of us in terms of social interaction. So we've only been able to communicate with them really through phone calls, which obviously is hard for the kids not seeing their grandparents, but also for the grandparents, you know, missing that role they played and getting to see them face to face. So, like everybody, taking it day by day, but I'm excited to get back to normalcy. I think we'll appreciate that, you know, interaction all that more.
Well, Brendan, due to my elderly status, I won't be able to help you with the child care thing. I'm sorry about that. But
you know what? As I said elderly, I realized that was a something my father and mother probably wouldn't care for. So.
No.
Over the age of 50, keep it very general and broad for them.
No, I appreciate that. I know you're very sensitive, Brent. I appreciate that. Okay. Well, Brendan, anyways, best of luck. Be safe. Wash those hands. Social distance. It seems like you're doing that. But anyways, thanks for your time. And
Bill, do you mind if I just, I don't think I mentioned it earlier, just thoughts and out to, and thanks and gratitude to all those folks on the front line, whether they're providing, you know, school lunches for kids at the drop-in centers or the public safety officials or all the folks putting their own selves at risk, working hospital settings or other settings where, you know, there are large groups of people. Obviously, there are a ton of folks out there that aren't able to shelter at home or stay at home. So to all of them, we wish them the best and express our sincere gratitude. So thank you for that opportunity.
Yeah, well said. Senator Crighton, thanks so much for your time. And again, be safe. Thank you.
Thank you, too, Bill. Take care.
Senator Brendan Crighton here with us on Connections here on MSONewsSports.com.